This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
28 minutes after 10 o'clock. With me in the studio now is Freya Fidge, the Liberal candidate for Geelong, keeping the conversation going. We've done very well when it comes to state politics this morning. And also we've had three female politicians on the show, which is a good story for trying to increase the female representation in Parliament. Nice to see you, Freya. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Mitchell. Very well, thank you.
How's the campaign going? Christine says that we're into the final 33 days, and I have no reason to doubt that that is, in fact, correct.
Yes, that's right. Less than 5 weeks to go now. The campaign is still, I feel like we're still quite well received. I think people are showing more of an interest with what's happening. There's certainly an awareness that there is a state election coming up, which is positive. And lots of Saturday morning street stalls, door knocking, hearing about what the local issues are.
And do you feel like in these final 33 days that you're sort of the hard work's behind you and it's sort of smooth sailing in now? Or is it now where you're thinking, oh, the real work really begins here?
I think the real work is really starting to begin here. I think the last, since being the pre-selected candidate in, I think it was late April, it was certainly about networking, getting the brand out there, understanding, getting people to understand who Freya Fidge is. Mm. Now it's really around the policy and what is it that that Geelong want, what is it that I can offer, and what does a Matthew Guy government look like on November 24.
And of course, since we last spoke, the landscape of the Geelong contest has changed it because of an independent candidate coming in. What are your thoughts on how that changes either how you campaign or what the likely result is going to be?
I think we just have to stay focused on our campaign, and I think Darren Lyons certainly adds an interesting mix and dynamic to the campaign for Geelong. I just need to stay focused on what it is that the Liberals can change for Victoria, and what it is that Freya Fidge can do as a candidate for Geelong, and listen to the residents, talk to the constituents, and build trust and respect through that process.
Have you got a sense as to how preferences might flow or how preference deals might be done, or is that all above you?
Yeah, that's actually done by our admin committee, so it is above me. But certainly, we're looking forward to seeing who else nominates and what that race to election day looks like.
So tell us about some of the key policy differences that you have with Christine Cousins, because you've been there this morning listening to what Christine was saying in the earlier interview, and she's obviously put a lot of emphasis on education and health and all that sort of thing. So where do you see the big differences between you and Christine?
So what we were really pleased to announce in the last week or so was around the $90 million education package for Geelong. Specifically for the Geelong electorate, we can see a commitment, if elected, for $9 million to Belmont High School redevelopment, and that's part of an overall master plan. Belmont High's enrolments are growing and have potential to continue to grow, particularly as we see also the announcement that that Oberon High will move to Armstrong Creek, and I think that was some $34 million, and that's something that that the land was purchased, I think, back in 2014, yet nothing's happened. So we've been receiving quite a few inquiries from parents about who are choosing to enrol their children into Oberon on the basis that it was moving to a new facility. So that's a really pleasing step. St John's Lutheran, also in our electorate where I went to primary school, a commitment for $3 million for a resource and learning centre. And I think these are really these are commitments that are really focused on a decentralised Victoria and a commitment to population growth and how we are going to support that through the education system. The other piece that was a really exciting point is what to potentially repurpose Oberon High as and looking at an autism school. And I think that's a real draw card for Geelong.
Now, I saw you on social media and I raised this with Christine, having a go at the tech school, just the choosing of the name. Big issue, you think?
No, look, I don't think it's a big issue. I think ultimately having a technical school is a great thing for Geelong. I think where the feedback I had been receiving was there was a perception that Geelong Tech was a trade school. And so Geelong Tech, by name recognition, Some people were thinking that's what it was, and clearly it's not. So it's more around, is it an appropriate namesake, or was there a more appropriate, better represented name for the school?
And crime, that's another one?
Absolutely. I also heard you talk earlier today around the increase in drug use, and I think that is linked to crime, and we are committed to tougher sentences on crime and obviously reforms on bail. There's also a drug and alcohol treatment program that the Matthew Guy government will introduce, and that's aimed at youth at risk. And I think that's important to look at, because we don't see a lot happening for how we're going to combat the drug issue. And I think there's been some conversation around the safe injecting rooms. We're obviously strongly opposed to that. I know that it was indicated this morning that perhaps it was confined to Richmond under the Labor government. But what we have heard in the past is that the Labor government is quite open to considering it for Geelong, and we are strongly opposed to it. We need to combat the drug problem, not facilitate it.
Well, I think the logic is that if it saves lives in Richmond, why wouldn't it save lives in Geelong? I don't see any reason why it would have two different outcomes. I don't believe people need to be dying in the streets for something to work. But I think from what you're saying, the negative community ramifications are too high on putting in a safe injecting room for the people around that vicinity.
Yes, it is. And I think it's more around what are we doing around the mental health contributing factor towards drug use. What are we doing about the supply of drugs in terms of the crime aspect? Holding people to account. If we know where the drugs are available from, why aren't we tackling those persons?
And transportation's another big one. I was talking to Christine about it, and she mentioned some of her policy ideas. Of course, Matthew Guy has made that big announcement about what he wants to do with fast rail. When you look at train carriages as well, the government is saying that we could get more seats in there by getting rid of luggage racks and things. I mean, I can see why it's a good idea, but it's a shame that it's got to that point.
Yes, and I think it could almost be counterproductive. If you're putting more people on the train services yet removing toilets, that to me could be quite counterproductive. I think it is. We need to be committed to what the actual need is, and what the Matthew Guy proposal is not a, well, commitment, I should say, is $19 billion to a fast train and a better rail network. So again, supporting the decentralisation and infrastructure for Victoria.
To your knowledge, that fast train, is that going to be non-stop from Geelong to Southern Cross? Because of course, once the train starts having to stop at all of these places on the way, you lose that fast rail advantage.
Look, I don't know the detail of that, but what I do know is that it's reliant upon having a dedicated line and removing the I guess those metro lines of Tarnit and Windenvale, and that is something that even in stage one under Matthew Guy government, we will be committed to reviewing the timetable. So for the current services as they stand now, and the fast train 32 minutes by 2022.
Mm. And that's a very, very ambitious target, isn't it? That in 4 years' time, we could be getting on a train and be in Melbourne in 33 or 34 minutes.
Absolutely, it's ambitious. But I think we need to be practically implementing solutions, not just talking about it, not just creating feasibility studies or planning studies. And we need to actually do something.
Have you been following on with the red shirts, Rorts situation? Do you think that issue is going to come up and be a big deal before November? And also, do you think people out there will care?
I think we need to leave the police to do the investigation. I do think that it needs to, I suppose, gain some momentum between now and November 24. If what is alleged has taken place, then you know, serious action needs to occur.
And of course, in the Geelong Advertiser, I raised this with Christine Cousins earlier about people and whether they actually know who their premier is. I see here in this survey of about 71 people, which Christine pointed out is not really a good sample size, that one person even thought that the premier was Matthew Guy.
Well, that's good for the Liberals. Yeah, look, I did read through that this morning, and it's a little bit disappointing to really see that the community doesn't have a greater knowledge of who their politicians are and who they're represented by. But I think it from a Prime Minister perspective, yes, we've had some change. So understanding that sort of difference. But I think there was also a comment that perhaps Darren Lyons was the Premier.
Yep, that's what it says here.
One person had said that. So I think there's a lot we can do about educating our community about who their representatives are. Perhaps we're not in our communities as much as we should be.
I presume that if people don't know who Daniel Andrews is, they probably also don't know who Matthew Guy is.
Potentially.
I mean, they haven't done, from what I can see here, they haven't surveyed who is the current state opposition leader. But that is also concerning that people potentially don't know what the choice is at the ballot box on election day.
Yes, and I think that's where, as a candidate, I need to be out there and talking to people and helping them understand what November 24 is about and what change means for the community of Geelong.
When you're out there on the streets, do people tend to have a good knowledge of politics? Because Christine Cousins said that when she talks to people on PACO or wherever she does her street stalls, that the survey results, it didn't seem to translate into the actual reactions of people on the street. Are people on the street more aware when they come up and speak to you?
I think they are fairly aware. From time to time, they may not know who the sitting member is, but may be able to recognise by name association. I think that there is, in terms of issues, I think people are very well aware of the issues, particularly around law and order, crime. Rail is a big one that keeps coming up about what are we doing. Often issues might be quite unique to a person, but that's why we talk to people to learn about what the greater issues are, you know, be it graffiti or be it a train line from Ballarat to Geelong. You know, they help us open our eyes as to what else needs to be done.
Do you take any lessons away from the Wentworth by-election result over the weekend, which wasn't really the best for the Liberals, something like a 20% swing against the Liberals' Dave Sharma? Of course, we have to wait and see what the final results are going to be there, but it doesn't look good. Does that worry you at a state level?
No, I think we need to focus on the state election and what the state issues are. I don't think we can be distracted by what happens in our federal seats.
So before we let you go, why should people vote for you on November 24? Because this is the last regularly scheduled catch-up that we'll be doing. Hopefully you'll come in on the next scheduled Monday is the Monday after the election. Hopefully you'll come in win, lose or draw for a chat. So why should people vote for you?
Look, Mitchell, I think people should vote for me if they're looking for an honest, reliable member of for Geelong. And I think that I do represent, as a person with strong values, I do listen to people and I hold my values quite strong because I think it's important about our personal character, but also what we expect of our politicians.
Yep, I think very good points indeed. Now, the Geelong Candidates Forum is coming up on November the 7th out here in the foyer, starting at the bright and early time of 9 o'clock in the morning, and everyone's coming pretty much for Geelong, so it's going to be a very, very interesting discussion about the electorate. We might even see if we can get you in one more time before the final actual ballot boxes open on November the 24th. But thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Freya Fidge there, the Liberal candidate for Geelong. After the break, I think we're doing Monday Sport, but one thing we'll definitely be doing is catching up with Wes J from 45 RPM to hear about what's coming up on his program.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.